It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, but why? Why would we not be afraid? How does that happen? How do you do that? A lot of times it's, if you just understand it. I mean, I'll give you an example. You're watching a horror flick, okay? Well, if they got the camera back and you're seeing the guy holding the microphone and the camera and you're not getting the scary music and you're not up close, the flashlight up to the chin, crying into the video camera. If you're getting to where you see the full view, well, it's just not as scary. It's not as, intimate. You're kind of getting the whole view and you see who's playing what and you're getting the director's view. And you're going, all right, I can see what's going on. I don't see it the same way a lot of people. I mean, since the 90s, the mid-90s, we started to become aware of just how manipulated everything was. We used to say whenever they'd pass one more program, do a crime bill. I think it started with the crime bill. That was 1994, and when they did the crime bill, and it's the assault weapons ban, and only 10 rounds in the magazine, and you can't have certain kind of foldable stock, blah, 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 just stupid stuff. And when the Mac, what do they call them, Mac 90s, they were the AK-47 semi-automatic version. They looked funky because they had this hole in the stock for your thumb you can grab because you couldn't have a pistol grip. So what they did is they just made it kind of part look like these old guns from Planet of the Apes. And I'm going, why would they do, what is the whole, not that I thought it was any different or worse. I just, okay, that might be kind of a cool design to have. But, I'm going, why do they do, it's just to comply with some stupid law. And we would sit there and go, yep, one day closer to freedom. Well, they just passed more gun control. They just passed more, craziness. Yep, one day closer to freedom. Because our mindset was, as young men, we're going, it's going to get so bad that sooner or later people are just going to be, no, we're done. Well, we're advocating for, yeah, bring it on, crank it up for the frog, man, dump them in the boiling pot. So is that what's happening? Are we going, what do they have to do? I mean, there's something, they got another plan. There's always something else. Don't ever think that they don't have an ace up their sleeve. It'll be, alien invasion from Alpha and whatever. It'll be, bubonic plague, that will sweep the kindergartens or something. I mean, it'll be some craziness. It'll be some terrorist act of something. There'll be some something, something, something. And let me tell you the attitude I'm going to have. They didn't prevent it. Whether they caused it or not, they didn't prevent it. What good were they? They didn't prevent it. I'll go even one step further with you. There was a science fiction author. He's still very prolific writer. His name's L. Neil Smith. You hear me mention him every now and then. He had a big influence on a lot of our activism here in Arizona because of the way that he approached activism. He's like, if you're not at least a little bit uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. How can you be too principled? Take the most extreme position you can. You'll be claiming territory you won't have to fight for later, mostly with your allies. Well, what he was saying was that you take an extreme position. You go, yeah, everybody should be able to have a machine gun. that 50 caliber machine gun, what the heck, mounted on your pickup. You know, so you're claiming a big swath of freedom territory, and you're going to compete with who for that? Not even your allies you're going to have to compete with. They're not going to go the extra. You know what, the NRA is going to go, no, we want belt feds on, you know, your own military helicopter. You know, are they going to do that? No. So you claim a swath of, we're not going to compromise whatever it is, how far ever you're willing to go. But I, you know, I'm far. I just there's nothing I want the government to be able to do that I can't do, because you have to hold. That's one thing about being libertarian, is you hold the government to the same moral standard that you would an individual. Because that's what makes you, it's part of the makeup, the primal structure of being, I don't know, a free individual. You know, do you government like gets a pass? It's okay. They get to abuse your rights. I mean, I thought that was the whole excuse for them to even be there. They're supposed to defend them, not be, you know, get a pass. So I'm not for reconstituting whatever this was that did this to me. It's just it creates the same structure. They're going to do it again. You know, that's one thing when I have people from the left on, and you know, I'm glad we got to spend a couple hours with Charles, because, you know, he and I have been through this. I mean, we know. And we go at it from different angles. We have different, you know, constituencies, different demographics we appeal to, different age bracket, different, and different styles. And, you know, it's, you call it division of labor. You know, some people got certain areas they deal with and focus on and so on. And I don't dissect the names of the people. I've done that before. And I get, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like you take out one guy, and it's like looking down a train track. There's 50 gazillion railroad ties of other guys. There's no end. There's an endless supply of people that advocate this kind of stuff. They're going to steal from us because they can. So what's going to stop them? You know, I think they're going to stop themselves. They're their own worst enemy. You know, it's going to get to the point to where, you know, the goose that's laying the golden egg, you know, you strangle it long enough, it's going to die. You know, then what? You know, rip it open and get whatever, you know, they killed the goose to begin with, is they wanted all the eggs that was in it, you know, ready now. Of course, then it stopped laying eggs when it's dead, but, you know, they did not care. But now they think it's, you know, coughing up blood anyway, so they're ripping it open. Well, that's what's happened in America now. You know, here we have the International Monetary Funds making overt, we're going to be the world's currency. And then I have people, nuh-uh, they wouldn't do that. Based on what? Why wouldn't they? If they can they? Well, then they will. Will it work? I don't know. For how long? I'm amazed that this other stuff has worked as long as it has. So now what? Well, I know one thing. You know, it's like Charles said, the sun will rise, the sun will set. People will go about their daily lives as best they can. The rivers will flow. The ocean will have waves. I mean, it's just, you know, we'll need to eat. We'll communicate one way or another. Smoke signals if it takes. You know, we got down my street, at the corner of the street, is an old guy that lives there, and he's got this big ham radio antenna out of his backyard. He must have been grandfathered in. I bet you don't get, you know, kind of variance for bringing them bad boys in now. So, you know, who's going to be my new best friend? You know, I should go visit with him. You know, go talk to them and say, hello. Because I remember in the mid-90s when they were really starting to, the internet was just taking off. They were just doing email lists. And it was already getting into their Carnivore and, you know, Echelon and all these other surveillance techniques by the NSA and so on. Even back 15 years ago, you know, the Clipper chip and all that kind of stuff with Janet Reno and the Clinton administration. And you got to put in a chip in all your fax machines and printers and televisions and VCR so that they can, you know, hack in and track it. They need to know what you're watching. You think I'm kidding? I mean, this went on for months. This is the big thing. In the name of the children. They got to be able to, you know, track, you know, whatever. So I'm going, okay, we should do something else. Well, there was an advocacy for people. They have it now. They call it packet radio. And what it was is that you would be able to encrypt communications in text. I mean, you just like sending an email over the ham radio airwaves. So it's like know, it's just binary code, but really fast, you know, like a fax tone handshake, you know, that kind of deal. And all of a sudden, boom, you got an email, came over the radio into your computer. Bingo. Are we going to go to that? Why not? Well, that, why not? Communicate with FM transmitters they get from China for $120? Heck, the show is broadcast on a bunch of pirate radio stations all over the country. You know, this is where we're going. We will survive. But they're going to come, and Lord knows, it's just like a third world country. Whenever you start to pop your head up, get a little prosperity, there's going to be a shiny badge that's going to come and take it from you. You're too wealthy, you're too successful, you're too something, you got to redistribute again. How long will that go on before people start to resist with force? I don't know. We got plans here. We'll talk about it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I come to fetch you to a meeting. What kind of meeting? The secret kind.
Your meetings are a waste of time, Campbell.
Your father was a fighter and a patriot.
I know who my father was. I came back home to raise crops and, God willing, a family. If I can live in peace, I will.
God, you say you want to stay out of the troubles?
Aye.
If you can prove it, you may court my daughter. Until you prove it, my answer's no.
No.
No, Wallace, no. Didn't I just prove it? No!
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 No! No! How are you going to prove it? I'm going to stay out of the troubles. At what point do you finally have to not, and then later what happened? You know, they messed with his wife, messed with his woman. That was like a bad idea. And then off he went. Well, you know, my wife and I talk about this, you know, on a regular basis. It's kind of, at what point do, you know, I put on the face of war? You know, you set the teeth, get the eye of the tiger. When does that happen? How bad is it? You know, and if they could stop it, would they? How would they stop it? They'd have to make you not angry. No matter what happens, you wouldn't get angry. That's what lithium's for. So what did I do today? You know, I'm starting to see this. I'm going, how can it be that they would anticipate that the people would not rise up? They're just, I mean, it's already starting to happen. They got millions of people show up, you know, all over the country saying no. But they're, you know, they're asking for the wrong, well, at least they're saying it. That's one thing that I know. A lot of the audience, I mean, have you really been to, you know, some of the early large Tea Parties? Back when they were dominated by Ron Paul supporters, before Clear Channel and Fox News got the stage and the microphone permit and then told everybody what it was that everybody wanted without reading the signs, when only 5-10% of the people could even hear what was coming from the stage. They go, you see all these people? We claim they're ours. We tell you what they want. Liars. Because I've been to these things. I see, man, they're mad. They don't want any more gum. Get out of my face. No, what signs do they show? They show the Obamianism. They show the Obamianist. They show the Obamacare. Obama, 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 as if the Republicans weren't to blame. You know, this. I've seen this happen. I see where this goes. I've seen this before. Heck, it was the same people. 1992, you had the Perot thing went on. United We Stand. Tens of thousands of people going, it was the same kind of thing. They were just, you know, they didn't know who Perot was. He wasn't them. You know, come to find out he's a little, you know, little fascist. But that wasn't their point. They were like, hey, somebody else. Well, 94, what happens? Newt Gingrich comes in, contract, you know, with, for, on America, whatever it was. You know, and what did they do? There was like 10 main things or something. None of them. I think the only thing they eliminated government. There was they eliminated. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. They eliminated a $135,000 a year job that was a tea inspector in New York or something like that. I think that's what it was. That was the one thing they did to check off. Hey, we reduced government. on a federal level, $135,000. I bet he got a job somewhere else anyway with a raise. So I'm just, it's tragic. You know, the history that's written that looks back on us now is going to be unforgiving. So who's, I'm archived. Every word out of my mouth. You can bring it on, bring it on. You know, go pick something. I stand by everything I say. You go, well, you said, yes, I did. And time will prove me right. So today I started a little project. We've been talking about it a little bit, and today I went down to the city council. We're gonna give it what for. If I'm going to defend myself, if I really think, I mean, aside from just moving out in the Lone Prairie, which is, you know, certainly an option, and we look for land and we're seeing where to go, and we have friends that live in rural areas and so on. But, you know, I just as soon stay here where my family is, and I like Phoenix, and I, you know, and a lot of people don't have the means to leave. You know, it's like Katrina. Yeah, you know, I probably get out. You know, I got four-wheel drives. I know the roads. I know the back ways. I'm, you know, they probably got their, you know, Apache tech helicopters, you know, trying to convince me otherwise. But, you know, I mean, if I wanted to leave, you know, I'm, you know, probably have more ability than most. You know, I have resources. You know, I have a little bit of silver here, a little bit of food there. Got, you know, firearms up and so, you know, kind of store. I just go there. I camp. I'm good. You know, if I had my radar screen up, you know, and I was able to get out of the valley, because here, you know, a lot of places where you live where there's concentrations of people, you know, a lot of times there's only one, two, three roads that go out. Because where do they put most of the metropolis? They started in where the water was, which is usually in the bottom of some valley. You know, you're not living at some top of some ridge or out in the middle of the Lone Prairie or something usually. It's usually at some crossroads. There's a river blocking your way on one side, a mountain range on another, and you get like one, two highways, and you get to go that way or that way, and that's about it. So it's a little roadblock there. You're done. So what happens when you can't leave anyway? All right, you're going to play the urban thing. Well, it's the one thing you want to defend, the water. Here in Phoenix, man, it's about water. Now, you can have wells here. A lot of the water goes underneath. There's a lot of water down there. Well, they're saying, no, you can't have it. Really. So we went through this before, about a decade ago, when we just started tracking. I just want to know what they're putting in the water. I just want to know what the contract is, who it's with, what they're saying is going in, test what actually is going in, and let's see how much. You know, what's the and that's what I focused on. I want to know who was making the money. Well, I didn't see anybody making any money. I mean, even the company that was selling the fluorides or whatever crap they were dumping into it, you know, there wasn't enough to justify all of this expense. You know, I mean, I started doing spreadsheets on, you know, not even the cost of whatever it was in the tank. Just running the truck and the driver, what he got paid. And so I'm going, why are they doing this? There wasn't enough money involved. I started checking. They got their money by getting rid of the waste. It's industrial waste. Now, you know, that's the fluorides are just a byproduct of industry. They wanted to get rid of it. So now you hear them talking about lithium, which is a metal. You know, it's soft, heavy metal that, you know, goes in. They use it for, you know, keeping your mania down. You know, you have manic depressive. Well, you know, you got depression and you got mania, manic. You know, that's, you're excited. You know, if you know anybody that's, you know, unbalanced, man, you know, sometimes they're freaking suicidal depression. Other times they're freaking, man, wanting to party. They're doinging around, man. You won't be around them then. You know, so, but I'm going, you know, so lithium is kind of, you know, evens it out. Well, mainly it deals with the manic part. Keeps you from getting too excited. Brings you down. You don't get as angry. You don't get as upset. So they're talking about adding this to the water because it reduces suicide rates. So I'm going, who even would do that study? And one, if I believe it anyway. I mean, that's, you know, and I remember them doing it with the fluoride. You know, all the children that live in areas that have trace amounts of fluoride in the water naturally occurring have fewer cavities. We need to fluoridate everybody. Where else is the government so concerned about my health? And much less my teeth. I mean, that's their, is that in the Constitution somewhere? On a federal level? Because once you start getting, you know, a municipality or a city, you have EPA. You have the federal government saying what needs to be in your water, what contaminants shouldn't be there, what's allowed, how, when, where. Then, of course, you got all these guys that, you know, hey, man, you need to, you know, put the fluoride in your system. Oh, we got the injection system all done. Don't worry about it. We just, you know, pull the truck up there. We'll take care of it for you. No worries. You know, who's paying whom for this? You know, who's paying who? I want to know. And I went through this before, and it had some interesting things, so I'm doing it again. So today I said, you know, I'm going to bypass all of this freedom of information request and going through all, and, you know, I already know where this goes, how many hurdles they put up for the citizenry to be able to find out information that should be ready to available, certainly on the Internet. You know, and this was 99 or so that I did this before. 2000, well, you know, a lot more stuff should be up there. Well, I went down to City Hall today.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows. Yep, all I want to do is just break free. You know, and a lot of times people that don't want you to, what's their justification for that? You know, no, you're not allowed. Oh, why? I'm not bothering you. I mean, if I just want to go over here and be left alone out my little corner of. Nope, 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 nope. Hear about it all the time. People that move out think they got away, and all of a sudden here comes a shiny badge from the county of some guy with a, you know, magnetic sticker on the side of their white, you know, sedan with black wall tires, and they just said, oh, by the way, we just want to inform you, you owe us money for something. And where do you go from there? I mean, you got an investment in a play. I mean, that's the big detriment of buying anything or doing anything or getting anything. I'm kind of in a different mindset right now. I'm going, okay, let's go ahead and walk it through. We're getting towards the end game. Let's go ahead and demonstrate that. Where's your local government? I mean, what is the most local you can get? Well, here, I live in the city of Phoenix. So am I going to, you know, use the city to defend my rights? You know, the city is going to, well, you got local law enforcement. They're federalizing local law enforcement. That'd be an incentive. You know, so I'm going, okay, how am I going to do this? You know, can I demonstrate one more level, the last level, that there's no hope for the system? You know, you can pretty much do that on the federal level. That's a given. I mean, just the last couple hours of Charles Goyette, man, that bang. We're, you know, next. Then you have on the state level. Well, we're pretty much there, too. You know, remember, it prompted me. I'll put it on today's, the archive for today's show. Today is August 10th, 2010, the afternoon show. You go there, and there's a link there that's about Sheriff Arpaio here. And we were talking about in the morning show, and I want to share this with you so you understand what I'm talking about. When we're talking about being able to communicate after things start to go, I mean, you can do pack radio on ham radios. You can do all kinds of different things to communicate. People will. They just always have. They always will. That's just the way we're wired. Well, one of the things that they do is they want to glean the information from people. And I'll give you an example. The New Times is a weekly publication here in Arizona that was very critical of Sheriff Arpaio and Andrew Thomas, the county attorney, and what they were doing in the name of immigration. Now, whether you agree with the immigration or not, it's not even the point. The point was they were critical of it, and all of a sudden there was a grand jury proceeding that where they had done a subpoena that there was an article that was critical of Sheriff Arpaio, and it was published public information, you know, like, I don't know, it has address or something, and he was upset or whatever. But it was very critical of him, and they wanted to access, because they can, you know, county attorney and the sheriff, they go, we want access to the information, and they had a grand jury proceeding where they got a subpoena for a bunch of stuff, and the paper published the grand jury subpoena. They said, you know, here, they went to them. They're supposed to be secret, I guess. And the paper said, oh, we got served this appeal. You know what? We're going to publish it. Oh, they freaked out about that. Went and arrested the owners of the paper, two of them. This is a big paper, you know, 500,000 readers a week. I mean, this is huge. I mean, every corner's got the New Times. So I'm going, and it's now part of a, you know, a large national thing, these weekly kind of progressive left-leaning whatever. So you have, and it has a lot of classified ads in there. That's where all the concerts and the stereo systems and whatever. I mean, it's pretty thick, and it's mostly ads. But they, you know, they always have big cover story that's, you know, out in somebody. So then they go, oh, no, 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 no. You're not allowed to do that. We want to know everybody that has even read these articles. The alternative weekly newspaper, in its cover story, said the subpoena was part of an investigation orchestrated to get back at its reporters and the critical stories they wrote of County Attorney Andrew Thomas, political ally Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So these two guys. Now, this was a few years ago. This is October of 2007. But this, you know, progresses. I'll make the link here in a second. See, that's why a lot of you guys don't know this stuff. You know, we're like, yeah, we know where this goes. The scope of the subpoena is unusually broad. It not only demands information from the reporters, but also information about the online readers of the publication since January 1 of 2004, for three back years of all of the online readers, including their internet domain names and browsers, and what other websites they visited before reading the New Times. Now, one, a lot of people don't even know that information's in your cookies and they tracking and Google and all this kind of, you know, whatever stuff. Well, you know, these guys, you know, we don't track it. Free speech, I don't care. You know, I don't care. And the big reason is because of stuff like this. We knew that someday there's going to be a subpoena that's going to come to Ernie and say, you know what? We want to know all your... I go, God, wow, that'd be really nice if I kept it. What if I don't care? Well, they'll still want the database. They'll want, you know, sooner or later, there's going to be... So, you know, expect that. I mean, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody who's going to come up and say, you know, guess what? If they aren't already tracking it anyway. Well, you think they're not? You know, so don't be naive, okay? What they wanted was all of the readers of this publication for 3 years. Not only their emails and cookies and stuff like that, they wanted their internet domain names, their browsers, and what other websites they visited before reading the New Times so they could see what linked to it. Like we, Freedom Speech, we'd link a lot of the stories that they were doing about when this was going on. We'd link in there. They go, ooh, most of that came from Freedom Speech. Ooh, that's not good. So this is Arpaio. Well, now we fast forward and we find out that there was an effort to support a gentleman instead of an incumbent, Jack Harper. You hear about, and I don't get involved in local politics here, I just don't care. But it's an interesting story in that what happened, there is a gentleman that's a state senator. He was the one, you hear me talk about that, did the, I'm going to go ahead and just say on this corrupt election in 04, I want to send a subpoena. We're going to count them here in the caucus room. Boom. Within a couple of hours, the FBI came, took the ballots, never heard about them again. So you can imagine the bad guys, like somebody, you know, uppity like that doing that. No. The integrity of the election? Oh, that's not in your job description, boy. So what they did is they're now starting to come at him and want to target him. They bring a guy named Scott Bungard, which used to be a legislator before. I know Scott. You know, pleasant enough guy, but, man, he is scumbag for hire and makes no bones about it. So I just know whatever's associated with it, there's some weird going on. So then we find out that there is a piece of legislation that they did within a month, like 3 weeks after the this really started up with the immigration thing. When that first, you know, I started going about it and so on, and then right when they finally signed it, boom, a piece of legislation got put into a bill that gave the ability for a company, at no cost to the state, of course, that is advocated for, run by, owner of, I mean, I know Scott, he's not, you know, he's not running any business, but he's affiliated with this business that would glean the data that goes from the local government to the federal government. Remember, SB 1070 is about national ID. I keep telling you guys that. You cannot restrict the flow to or from this information in the state with the federal government. That's what this whole thing was about. Then that's what's left after the judge says, no, you can't racially profile and you can't stop and talk and do and then that. That's all done. But they left that part in. So all of a sudden, this one person, they're going to be collecting the information on what? There is a thing called ARS 41725. I'll go ahead and pull it up. What it is it is the place on the internet where you can find out all about what the government is doing with your money. 41725, comprehensive database of receipts and expenditures of state monies. On or before January 1, 2011, the department shall establish and maintain an official internet website that is electronically searchable by the public at no cost and that contains a comprehensive database of receipts and expenditures of state monies. Well, this is what Bungard is associated with, is gleaning all the information from anybody that goes to this. Who would go to look at all the expenditures of the state? Who would want to track, you know, where they're taking and spending money? Would it be something like Freedom's Phoenix? Would it be individuals engaged in the electoral process or in politics or government or honest government? Would it be somebody like that? And what do we have? Years ago, these same guys, all this immigration people, they created this database, this flow of information, so they can get your information. This is what they've always wanted, and you're begging for it. Begging for, oh, and who introduced that bill to do this? Russell Pierce. You're out there. You're not here. We know the truth.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Open up your mind. Let me step inside. You know, it's one of the powers of talk radio, and I want to warn you of this. I bring, you know, that one rejoinder, you know, kind of reminds me to tell you that, you know, it's very powerful talk radio because I'm in your head. And you're not able to, you know, a lot of times when you're listening to someone in a one-on-one conversation, you're waiting for your opportunity to speak. Or you have something you want to say. So you're not really internalizing. When you just listen or when you read, and it kind of has the same power of reading. I mean, a lot of times you slam down the book and say, man, this sucks. You know, at least make it entertaining if you're going to BS me or something. But so you have the same kind of thing on with talk radio that you do with books, is that you don't really, you know, waiting for something to say. You're just listening. And it has a big impact. You know, I know that you need to prepare yourself, you need to ward yourself off of undue influence by somebody just because they said it. You know, I heard it on the radio. I read it in the paper. That actually used to mean something. That's what they used against you. You need to have some kind of filter. You know, I mean, and mine's pretty simple. I mean, you know, who is aggressing against whom? That's all I want to know. You know, who's the bad guy here? So I'm just looking to see who's being the bad guy. How do you know? Well, we're starting to work on this a little bit more, and I wanted to bring this up because there's so many things. It's just a little tip. I could spend entire shows on, you know, they pass this legislation that creates a unlimited transfer of data from the state to the federal government. And then in the transfer of that, they create, you know, different organizations that get, you know, they kind of tap into that flow of information. And from that, they glean everybody's emails and websites and browsers and all that kind of stuff at no cost to the state, of course. That's put in there to benefit one legislator by another legislator. Then and to sacrifice one more legislator is not getting along with the, you know, playing ball. Then you have, you know, past time, you know, years ago where they take and arrest the owners of a local newspaper. I mean, a big newspaper. You know, 500,000 readers a week. Because they published the subpoena that they had done against them for them telling them that they had to turn over all their readers. They go, no, 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 no. Well, they, you know, of course, that made such a big news deal. They kind of worked out a compromise, something. I don't know what the heck it was. I need to find out about that, you know, after it just kind of went away, you know. But who is that? It's Sheriff Arpaio. And the guy that's running to be attorney general with the endorsement of Sheriff Arpaio right now. This is dangerous stuff. With dangerous people doing dangerous things. So, you know, as this starts winding down, what are we to do? So I had to pick, you know, where do you hold your ground? Well, a lot of times it's just my family. I mean, we'll go away. You know, I'm good, man. Fortunately, I like carrots. All right. So we'll just, you know, we'll be rabbits. We'll go out here, you know, in the fort or something. I mean, you know, I got friends live overseas. I got a passport. He might even let me out of the country. You know, I don't have anything to take with me. So, you know, they care. They just, you know, they say, here, Ernie, here's $50, go. You never know. But, you know, if I'm going to stand my ground, where would that be? Well, it might be local, your home, you live somewhere, you got ties to it, family, you start having grandkids, I mean, you get, you know, all kinds of ties. You know, it's going to be a revolution of grandpas. So I'm going, all right, well, if I'm going to do that, how would I do it? I mean, if I wanted to play an advocate for you, you know, for the audience, you know, for the general population, you know, as a thought experiment, you know, as a way to, you know, because I got the time and we can share and other people can do the same. It'll be fun. Well, we have a couple of young women that do a podcast that they broadcast out of here about once, twice a week. They'll come in and they'll create a half hour shows that they do on wellness, you know, on you hear their advertisements sometimes. And they do some good shows on various different things. And I asked them, I said, you know, I want to talk about our doing this. We'll focus on the water. Because I'd done this before. And today, so this is, I just want to bypass all of the obstacles and hurdles and then wasting my time and crap. Do I really got to do freedom of information request, you know, and official this and sue that and make a big deal out of it? And no, if they make it difficult to get the information that you're supposed to have access to anyway, about the water, I mean, please. If they make it difficult for you to get it, well, then already everything they say doesn't mean anything anyway. I mean, they're already suspect. They're already your criminal. They're already seen as bad guys. Can we avoid that? You know, let's just pretend like, you know, they're the city. Like, that's how we work with the Phoenix Police. Yeah, they're a confrontation prevention squad. They're a community services guy. You know, and you go, hey, call up Al. Hey, what's up? You know, we're going to do this. You know, let's go. Everybody can be good guys in here. We can just get the information, good, bad. You know, a lot of people are probably going to forget what I tell them anyway. You know, so I'm just going, you know, what does the difference it make? I mean, the big controversy is you won't tell us. We're not allowed to know. So I go down to, I start making phone calls. This morning, Thomas and I are the sales manager here. I'm going, look, you know, I'll tell you how it starts. All right, finally, I got some time. Had a moment. You know, I got to leave tomorrow, and this will be the last time I could do this before I had leave, go to Pennsylvania, and I won't be back till next Monday. We'll be broadcasting from the road. So I go, all right, you know, let's make the phone calls. All busy signals, keep ringing, voicemail, nobody returns anything. Fine. We're close downtown here. I'm within 4 minutes of downtown. So I just hop in my car, go straight down there, make one turn, boom, I'm there. Okay? It's like, I don't know, 3-4 miles. So I go down there, go in the parking garage, go up 9th floor. Go in there, say, hello, water services. My name is, this is what I'm doing. I just want to, you know, find a person to talk to. Is it going to be, you know, your public relations, security? I mean, who you want that's going to give me what I want to know. This is what I want. I want to know all of the water goes through where. There's going to be water treatment plants. There's going to be injection of goodies from tankers of whatever adders they do. There's going to be contracts that detail that. There's going to be money exchanging hands on that. There's going to be, you know, some stats on water quality and testing. And they have brochures on the walls and everything. So I got, you know, copies of all that. And it's all how great and wonderful they are and in compliance with and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going, okay, so now we got that. Who's the person I'm going to talk to get this information? Well, we don't know. So the receptionist makes some calls back there, and then a couple minutes later, a gentleman, he seemed like out in the field worker guy, and he comes out and he says, here, have him call this guy. So he gives me a piece of paper, okay, John Colwell. So I give them a call and leave a message. Of course, there's, I'm going, we're going to do it right now. And while the receptionist is sitting right there, call them. Yep, it's voicemail. Now leave a message. All right. Step one. Let them know that I'm here. Let everybody know Ernie wants to talk to them. Now, I went from there straight up to the city council offices. They have a floor there, which is like floor 11 or something. I had 20-something floors, this Taj Mahal place they built in Phoenix, man. They go, well, we consolidate and save them. I go, libertarian. They go, not buying it, huh? Back when they first did it years ago. And I go, libertarian. They go, not buying it. Yeah, okay. It saves me so many conversations. Look, save it, man. I don't want to hear it. So I go up to the city council mayor floor, and of course they have a policeman sitting there. They didn't used to have that. Now they got an officer sitting there. He's going to guard them. So I go up, and they have nobody at the reception desk. I guess the cops at the reception. And they have a phone that sits there, and it just said District 1 through 8 or whatever it is. Mine's 6. Out of 6. Okay, boom. Call it. Now, I'd already talked to Stephanie, his secretary, a couple of hours before. And I said, look, this is what we're going to do. I know, Sal knows who I am. He's my city councilman, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do this. Help make it, he can be the hero and get us the information, rock and roll. Let's not, don't play, this hurdle thing because, man, I just blaze through hurdles. We'll have all kinds of good fun. Okay, yep, tomorrow we'll get him, he's all about open government and we're, right up until it's, something they don't want you to be open about. I guarantee you that. So I went up there and I said, well, is he in today? I'm here at the office, but, there's nobody to talk to me down there. I'm already hitting hurdles. What can we do? Well, he's not in, he'll be in tomorrow. Okay, fine. So I go downstairs. I got to get back to the afternoon show. So I get down. Right when I get out of the building, I get a call from the guy I left a message for, John Colwell. So I'm going, yeah, and I tell him what I'm doing. All right, cool. He called me back, and he goes, I don't know why they sent you to me. I'm at 24th Street. I'm miles away here, and I'm security. I'm the security guy. I'm the guy with the guns, man. I don't know what the heck to have you call me for. I'm going, okay. So he said, look, you need to talk to the public information officer. That's what I've been asking for. So he goes, well, his name's Ken Krosky. I'm going to go ahead and I'll call him right now and have him give you a call. And I gave him my number and so on. So I went back in. So I go back up to the floor to the receptions. Hey, I found out, who I'm supposed to be getting a meeting with. Here's the guy. Give me what for? Well, she gave me a piece of paper and I stapled my business card to it and I started writing a note, give me a call. And then there he was. He goes, hey, are you ready? Yeah. And he goes, I'm Ken. And so we sat down finally. And I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do some water testing. I want to defend the water. I want to make sure it's water I want to defend. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do some water testing. We're going to go ahead and look at the contracts with the people that are dumping stuff in it. We're going to analyze what it is. We're going to talk about, whatever. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty. And you guys can, work with us or help us or not. It's just a good story either way. Just FYI, be all open about this. I don't need SWAT teams. I don't need, Arpaio and Andrew Thomas and county attorneys and, subpoenaing all my readers and coming after me and arresting me and everything because I won't. And that's because I asked about the water. So you got to be open about this up front or you just ask for problems. So I'm just going, look, we're just going to go through this and we'll see what's what. Okay. The expression on his face, I don't know how to describe it. I'd rather not, but it's going to be interesting. And we're going to walk you through it. Get ready. Here we go. Defending your local city.